Now the question is, what about the lodges? We're talking about the Moose Lodge, the Elks Lodge, the Masonic Lodge, and any other lodge that you want to lump in there. Matthew 10:27. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light, and what you hear in the ear, that preach ye up on the housetops. Now we use that verse as our text for the lodges because all the lodges create oaths. They swear themselves to secrecy. Don't tell your wife, don't tell your children, don't tell the public. These oaths are just for the members of this lodge. Now, the truth is, most of those lodges are just places for drunks to hang out. And that's all the Moose Lodge is. It's just a bunch of drunks. You go down to the Elks Lodge, I've been over there plenty of times. You go over there at 9 o'clock in the morning, and there's 10 or 12 old men sitting around the bar drinking. That's all they do, they drink. You say, well, the lodges do a lot of good. No. The lodges use benevolent works as an excuse to have a place to drink. They do enough civic functions, they do enough social good so that people won't be mad at them for having the biggest bar in town. See, you take a town where you can't have mixed drinks and stuff, but you can have mixed drinks at the Elks Lodge. You go down there and get a mixed drink. Because it's a private club. And so, to keep down public anger and hostility because of the alcohol consumption and the partying, they do benevolent things. So they build the reputation about, look what good we do. We do this hospital, or we take care of kids, or they have some benevolent function that they participate in that they're famous for. But most of the time, the members just hang out and drink. If you don't believe that, you go to any Elks Lodge on Friday, Saturday night, any Moose Lodge on Friday, Saturday night, or the Masonic Lodge. When we were in Virginia Beach, Virginia, the Masons, the Shriners, had the Shrine Convention at Virginia Beach. This was 20 years ago. And when the Shriners came to town, they put up a $40,000 cash deposit with the police department to pay any fines that were owed because of misconduct or bad behavior of any of the Shriners that were there for the convention. And then they just walked the streets with impunity. They were drunk. They were obnoxious. They were rude. They jaywalked. They puked. They cursed. It's all paid for. And the city of Virginia Beach just stood back and let them do whatever they wanted to do. Now, who did that? The Shriners did that. And it's not hearsay. I was there. I know they paid the $40,000, and I went down to the beach and watched them. It was an abomination. You say, well, that's the Shriners, not the Masons. Listen, you got to be a 32nd degree Mason before you become a Shriner. A Shriner is just a drunk Mason. Amen. Now, those groups, all those people, those places are designed for partying and drinking and having fun, and they cover their sin with good works, charitable things, and that kind of thing. But all those lodges are a mixture of Christian and non-Christian. There's all kind of people in the membership roll. You go down to the Elks Lodge, and there'll be folks down there who are members of the Elks Lodge that are members of First Baptist Church and the local Presbyterian church and the local Methodist church. And there'll be people down at the Elks Lodge that are agnostic and atheist. Anybody can be a member of the Moose, the Goose, or whatever if they've got the bucks. Now, a Christian, there's a couple of admonitions that apply. One, be not among wine-bibblers and riotous eaters of flesh. Christian has got no business in the company of folks who are drinking. Amen. My company is fixing to have a company party this Saturday. I'm not going because they'll have booze there. I just ain't going because they're going to be partying and drinking. Amen. Be not among wine bibbers, so we don't do that. The other thing is, Christian shouldn't have anything secret, anything that he can't reveal to his wife or to his fellow man. Jesus said, Matthew 10:27, whatever you heard in the ear, preach ye from the housetops. We don't have any secret. We don't have any secret doctrine. There's not some things that some Christians know and some Christians don't know. We don't have a little, say, all that's nonsense. But all those lodges do. Now, of course, by far and away, the worst one in the bunch is the Masonic Lodge. They got more secrets than Carter's got liver pills. Let me give you a couple more verses before I get started on them fellows. Matthew 5:33. Thou shalt not forswear, that means beforehand, thou shalt not forswear thyself. That means you're not to put yourself under obligation or bond by swearing an oath. Now that's not talking about a court of law where you promise to tell the truth. It's a whole different thing. What we're talking about when we're talking about forswear yourself is where you give permission to somebody to penalize you in some way if you break the vow or if you don't perform the vow. For example, Masonic Lodge, I promise to hide and conceal, never reveal, etch, scratch, carve, leave any indelible mark under the penalty of 1. Having my body severed in twain, my bowels fed to the fowl of the air. See, that's to forswear yourself. That's to give them the right to destroy you if you break your secret oath. Now, the Bible said, Matthew 5, thou shalt not forswear thyself. Then it says, you're not your own, you're bought with a price. See, you don't belong to you. When you got saved, Jesus Christ bought you and paid for you with His blood. You don't have the right to give your body to anybody else. It belongs to the Lord. See? So a Christian, now if you're not saved, you can join anything you want to. You're on your way to hell anyhow. I mean, if I wasn't saved, I'd probably be a member of all that stuff. But if you're saved, you belong to the Lord. And your body is for the Lord. And you are not to be among wine bibbers. You're not to forswear yourself. And you're not to get involved in secret things. Amen. Now, most of those people who belong to those fraternal organizations, and in particular the Masonic Lodge, rely heavily on their good works that are done through that organization to get them to heaven one of these days. You talk to them folks and they say, oh, it's okay to be a Methodist or a Baptist or whatever, but they think because they belong to that lodge and that lodge collects money out of its dues or through the sale of brooms or whatever it is and does good works with that, that their good works are going to weigh on their side when they get up to the judgment and they'll get in. They count on those organizations to help them get home to glory. Now, nothing can be farther from the truth. And so, I want to give you, and we're going to spend a little extra time on this one point tonight, because I want to show you what the lodges are like. And so, I'm going to talk about my pet peeve, and the one I know the most about, and the one that I've done enough research on, and the one that I can blast out of the water the best. Now, if you're a Mason, you may want to leave. Because I have the goods on the Masonic Lodge. You would not believe the amount of time I have spent and the money I have spent and the trouble I have gone to delve into the history and the dogma of the Masonic Lodge. Matter of fact, I feel so strongly about the Masonic Lodge that if you've ever read the Constitution for this church, you can't be a member of the Masonic Lodge and be a member of this church at the same time. We don't allow Masons as members of King James Baptist Church. And the reason for that is it's a competing religion. And it's a religion on works. Brother, we're not going to have any competition for Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, so I want to read you a few things, take a little time at this, about the Masonic Lodge. And as we go, I will try very briefly, but very clearly, to explain why you can't be a Mason and be a Christian and be consistent, and why we don't allow Masons to be members of this church. Amen. Now, I want to give you a reference for everything I say. I would never, Lord helping me, get up and make any kind of statement about a person or organization that I didn't have the goods on in black and white, in print, where you can look it up yourself. All right? Now, the Masonic Lodge, and I'm just going to use them as a case example. The rest of them are just about as bad, and you don't have any business being members of any of them. But the Masonic Lodge is clearly a religious organization, and they clearly teach salvation by works. Masons claim that all the famous men down through history, from Adam forward, were Masons. Which just, you know, kind of nonsense. They say that Seth was a Mason, that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were Masons, that Solomon was a Mason. They have a hard time with that. Now, let me read you some things here. Professor T.S. Purin, past Grand Master and Grand Secretary of the Grand... Everything in the Masons is grand. I mean... You just get tired of hearing the word, but everything's grand. Of the Grand Lodge of Iowa, Grand Orator of the Commandery of Iowa, in an oration before the same said, "Now in all candor and with all proper respect to our brethren, to this audience, not overlooking my own self-respect as a Mason and a man of mature age, I must declare that all such stuff will surely, sooner or later, return to hurt us as ever it should." That quotation is him saying that Masons claiming all these people were Masons, he says, it's going to return to hurt us, is nonsense. This is one of the big shots in the Masonic Lodge. He flatly denies that there's any truth or validity to the claim of the Masonic Lodge. The Masonic Lodge claims that all the presidents from Washington forward are all Masons. They claim every president was a Mason. Page 63. Grand Lodge Report of Illinois for 1873. "And while it is true that not all fools are dead, it may be safely said that he who teaches that Adam, Seth, or Solomon were Freemasons sins against light and knowledge and ought to be excluded from the platform of instruction." That is, this fella in the Grand Lodge, he said, anybody believes Seth and them guys were Masons is nuts. And who said that? Masons. I mean, they contradict each other. On the one hand, you've got Masons teaching that all these men were Masons, and then you've got the leadership come back and say, "Man, you guys are off your rocker, and anybody that believes that ought not to be allowed to teach." They teach that all the presidents of the United States were Masons, when the truth is only 9 presidents were ever Masons. Washington, Polk, Buchanan, Johnson, Garfield, McKinley, Roosevelt, and Taft. Those guys were Masons. All the rest of them were not Masons. So, you know, when they get up and brag about the political influence of the Masonic Lodge and all the presidents, they're just lying through their teeth. Amen. Now, you find that Masons lie a lot. I mean, they lie a lot. And then they make each other swear not to tell the truth. If you read some of their material... A Mason is obligated to lie for another Mason for everything except murder and treason. That's the only 2 instances where a Mason is free to tell the truth against another Mason. Any other crime, they are obligated to lie for him. When a man becomes a Mason, to become a full-fledged Mason, you have to go through the first 3 degrees, first, second, and third. Entered apprentice and master Mason. And with each of those, they take an oath. The entered apprentice Mason takes this oath: "Binding myself under no less penalty than that of having my throat cut from ear to ear, my tongue torn out by its roots and buried in the sands of the sea at low water mark, where the tide ebbs and flows twice in 24 hours, should I in the least knowingly or wittingly violate or transgress this my entered apprentice obligation, so help me God and keep me steadfast." Now that's what you call forswearing yourself. That guy said, if I break my oath knowingly, then you guys take me out, bury me by the side of the sand where the tide comes and goes twice in 24 hours, and you have the right to kill me. A master mason says, taking his oath, "Binding himself under no less penalty than that of having his body severed in twain, my bowels taken from thence and burned to ashes, and this scattered by the four winds of heaven, that no remembrance may be had among men or masons of so vile a wretch as I, should I in the least knowingly or wittingly violate or transgress this my master mason obligation, so help me God and keep me steadfast. Every degree in the Masonic Lodge, you take an oath that gives the lodge the authority to disembowel or dismember you if you break your secret oath to the Masonic Lodge. Now, if you belong to Jesus Christ, you don't have the right to do that. You don't have the right to do that. Now, I've got some other stuff here. I'm going to skip over a lot of this stuff where the Masonic Lodge came from. They tell you that the Masonic Lodge has been around since the time of Solomon. Depends on who you talk to. From the time of Solomon, which always was interesting to me. If it started with Solomon, which it didn't. It started in 1717. But if it started with Solomon, how did Seth and Abraham and Adam get to be Masons? I guess they inducted him into the Hall of Fame or something posthumously. I never could figure that out. But if it depends on who you talk to, they say that Freemasonry started with Solomon or with a fellow named Hiram Abiffner. The big legend goes with that. But the truth is, a couple of lawyers in London, England, in 1717 started Masonic Lodge and got it going and got it like it is today, or at least pretty much like it is today. And that comes from the History of Freemasonry by a fellow named Thornburg. I'm skipping over a lot of that because I want to get down to the fact that the Masonic Lodge, or Masonry, is a religion. It's not just a fraternal organization. It's not just a secret society. And if you ask a Mason, you say, well, you belong to a secret society. And they'll say, oh, no, we're not a secret society. We're a society with secrets. Now, they're a secret society. If you took away the secrecy, there wouldn't be anything left. Amen. This is from Webb's Monitor, which is a formal publication from the Masonic Lodge, page 231, under the heading of Chaplain. The master of the lodge is its priest. Now, if you've got a priest, you've got a religion. The master of the lodge is its priest and the director of its religious ceremonies. His duty is to select the scriptures, prayers, etc., and he should be present at the burial of the dead. A meeting of a Masonic lodge is a religious ceremony. So where'd that come from? That came out of Masonic literature written by Masons, for Masons. Well, how'd you get that? Well, it's an interesting story how I got that. I have one of the best collections of Masonic literature in the country. And I got it from a little old cripple lady. I was doing heat and air conditioning up in Norfolk, Virginia, and it was a little invalid lady. She was born crippled, been crippled all her life, and she was way up in years. And her dad had been a big-time Mason, and he had an incredible library of Masonic literature. And so I was talking to this little old lady, and I guess she liked me, and I saw all them books, you know, and so I was peeking through them. And so I talked to her about it, and she said, well, why don't you just take that stuff with you? I said, well, now, if you don't mind, I think I will. And so I have every major book written by Masons about Masons. So, theoretically, if you ask a Mason, they say nothing is reduced to print. Everything is passed on by oral tradition, which has got to be the biggest lie that was ever written. There are tons and tons and tons and tons of books written by Masons about Masons, to keep their history straight and pass down their tradition and their dogma and all that. Anybody that tells you that everything a Mason knows is passed down orally from one Mason to another, you look at that guy, you know you're looking at the biggest liar in York County. Amen. Matter of fact, all these books I'm citing are Masonic books. Webb's Monitor, page 231, which we just read. This next quotation comes from the Manual of the Lodge by A.G. Mackey, page 40. As Masons, we are taught never to commence any great or important undertaking without first invoking deity. And this is because Masonry is a religious institution. Mr. A.T.C. Tyson wrote Traditions of Freemasonry. His title, this is what he was called. He was the Grand Inspector General of the Holy Empire of Freemasonry. Does anybody else know an organization that has a Holy Empire? The Holy Roman Catholic Church. See? That is, Masonry is a religion. In the Manual of the Lodge by Mackey, page 215, says, though in ancient times Masons were charged in every country to be of the religion of that country or nation, whatever it was, it is now thought more expedient to oblige them to that religion in which all men agree, which is theism. Now, what that guy just said was that in ancient times, they requested that a Mason become a member of the leading religion of whatever country he was in. In the United States, he could be a Baptist or a Methodist or a Presbyterian. In England, he could be a Lutheran or an Episcopalian. See? But in Asia, he could be a Buddhist or Muslim or Hindu, whatever the religion of the land is. You see, the Masons want you to think that it's a Christian organization. And they say, oh, we got preachers that are Masons. Yeah, backslid, out of the will of God, living in sin. There are plenty of preachers that are members of the Masonic Lodge. They just wacko as a $3 bill. Ain't no way in the world, I'm going to read you a couple quotes in a minute, how any preacher could read these things and abide by them and stay in the Masonic Lodge is I cannot understand. But the point is that Masonic Lodge is a religion. It is not the religion of Jesus Christ. It is theism. And anybody from any religion can be a member of the Masonic Lodge and worship whatever God he wants to. Now, the Masons make a big deal out of the fact that you've got to believe in God before you can become a Mason. Well, that's not a big deal. The Bible said, thou believest in one God, thou doest well. The devils believe also and tremble. Believing in a God is no... I mean, what good does that do? We don't just believe in God. We believe that Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh, and you've got to receive him as Lord and Savior. You're going to die and go straight to hell. Amen? On the application for admission to the Masonic Lodge, it asks you, do you believe in a supreme being? Any supreme being. It's not defined. It doesn't say, are you a Christian and do you believe Jesus Christ and do you receive him as your Savior? That's not there. So how do you know that? I have one. I have a copy of the application for admittance to the Masonic Lodge. I petitioned the Bishop Lodge of Bishop, Texas to become a Mason about a year before I became a Christian. And they sent me the application. And it says, do you believe in a supreme being? Almost everybody believes in one of those. That certainly doesn't make it a Christian organization. Now, not only is it religious and a religion, it promises salvation by works. The Lexicon of Freemasonry by Mr. Mackey, page 404. You don't have to read all this junk to get this stuff. What a waste of my time. But I got all the good stuff extracted. On page 404, it says, the religion then of Freemasonry then is pure theism on which its different members engraft their own peculiar opinions. Which means all you got to do is believe that there's a God or a supreme being, and then you can believe anything else you want to, and that's all right with the Mason because they're only interested in the religion in which all men agree. That is, there's a higher power. See? So if you belong to the AA, they believe in a higher power. Book one, the big blue book. They all qualify to be Masons. So you go find every drunken town and sign him up. Of course, most of them are members already. And the ones that aren't belong to the Moose. On page 20 of Manual of the Lodge, listen to this statement. This just boggles my mind how any Christian man could read this and then stay in a Masonic Lodge. Can you imagine? I'm a preacher. I'm a Christian. I'm saved by grace, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Jesus Christ is my Savior. Can you imagine me saying this or believing this. There he stands without our portals on the threshold of his new Masonic life. In darkness, I'm not in darkness, I'm in light. In darkness, helplessness, I'm not helpless, I've got a comforter. And ignorance, I'm not ignorant, I've got the Word of God. Having been wandering amid the eras, Christianity is an era, and covered with the pollutions of the outer and profane world, he comes inquiringly to our door seeking the new birth and asking a withdrawal of the veil which conceals divine truth from his uninitiated sight. Now, pal, I don't need any maha boner to open my eyes so I can understand divine truth. I have the indwelling Holy Spirit to reveal divine truth. Amen. I haven't been wandering among anybody's darkness or errors for my uninitiated sight. Page 21 of the same book. Masonry stands before the neophyte in all the glory of its form and beauty, to be fully revealed to him, however, only when the new birth has been completely accomplished. So you see, if you become a good Mason and go through all the rites and rituals and keep the dogma, you get born again. And the new birth comes about by obedience to Masonic dogma. That is salvation by works. If thou shalt keep the concepts and precepts of Freemasonry, thou shalt have a home in the heavens not made with mortal hands. That's a promise of eternal life in heaven if you're a good Mason. That's salvation by works. And that Bible said, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by his mercy hath he saved us. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of works, lest any man should boast. Now this next one really gets you. This is from the book of Ancient and Accepted Scottish Rite of Freemasonry by Charles T. McClenahan, 33rd degree and past Grand Master of Ceremonies, the Supreme Council of the Northern Jurisdiction of the United States, page 576. Man, when I was studying all this stuff years ago, I had this stuff run out of my ears. Boy, I used to quote it. It's getting dull on me now. Worshipful Master, in the name and under the auspices of the Supreme Council, of the Sovereign Grand Inspectors General, of the 33rd and last degree, I proclaim these children purified by Masonic baptism and anointed with the oil of consecration to Masonic duty. Did you realize you got your children baptized from a Masonic priest that he's purified? Well, that's a great leap to say, I didn't even know that water baptism could purify you in the church. I thought it took the blood of Jesus Christ to do that. He said, why are you bringing all this? Well, because people join the lodge. And down south, the lodge is real big. Down south, if you say anything against the lodge, they get mad. I mean, they get mad. Some months ago, a friend of mine was being talked into joining the lodge. I got him aside and tried to talk him out of it. I knew he was going to join it anyway because he's intimidated about what people think. I knew he didn't have the moral courage not to join. So I saw him in a place of business one day, and he had on, of all things, a Masonic belt buckle. So I knew he had joined, you know, but he wasn't going to tell me because he knew I'd get on him about it. So I said something about it. And the fellow who had talked him into it was right there. You never saw a fellow get so mad in all your life. What do you got against the Mason? What do you know about it? And I thought to myself, not much, but probably as much as you do. And to be quite honest, I figured I knew a lot more about it than he did. That guy was absolutely beside himself because he thought I was going to say something about his religion. And that fella is a member of a Baptist church in Rock Hill and has been for years. And matter of fact, both those men are Baptist and attend. But they can read that stuff and know that that's what Masonic Lodge teaches and that's what they believe and stay in it. Now, you're either brain dead to do that or you don't have a moral fiber of courage in your body. You are just an absolute moral yellow belly. And you tell them I said so. I was preaching one time, I think it was Brother O'Day's church, and I wasn't going to preach on Amazing. Just a little lick in passing, just one, and it just so happened that the guy sitting right on the front row, right dead in front of me, was a Mason. And I saw his face turn red when I said it. So I parked, and I said some other things. I've never seen a human face contorted in such anger in my entire life. And when we got through preaching and said, everybody bow their head, that guy left the room. To this day, he has never spoken to me since. So he's probably dead now. He's an old man. But he was absolutely furious because I attacked the Masonic Lodge. Listen, every preacher in the country ought to be attacked in the Masonic Lodge. That thing's an abomination. It's an absolute abomination. Well, Lexicon of Freemasonry by A.G. Mackey, page 16, under the word Aiken. Aiken, a term signifying a Mason who, living in strict obedience to the obligations of the fraternity, is free from sin. Did you know you could live free from sin if you kept all the commandments of the Masonic Lodge? Now, another thing about Masonic Lodge, of course, they have this oath, you know, where they can cut you up and bury you and all that kind of stuff if you violate the oath. They say, but, well, it's just symbolic. It doesn't mean anything. Don't make a big deal out of the oath. Well, why don't you ask Samuel Pritchard of London, England, 1730, who was killed by the Masons, or Noah Smith in Manchester, Vermont, 1789, who was murdered by the Masonic Lodge, or Ariel Murdoch in Renslack, New York, 1803, or William Merchner, Jenkinstown, Pennsylvania, 1809, or Loring Simmons, Albany, New York, 1809, or William Miller, Belfast, Ireland, 1813, or Orville Garrett in Ohio, 1824, or William Morgan at Fort Niagara, New York, or David Brodner in Little York, Illinois, in 1840. All those men were murdered by the Masonic Lodge. Now, there's a whole bunch of other fellows that were killed by the Masonic Lodge, but these nine I just named, there's no question. I mean, the trial was about the Masonic Lodge. The most famous case about the Masonic Lodge having somebody murdered was William Morgan at Fort Niagara, up at Niagara Falls in New York in 1826. He was drowned by having his feet weighted and dropped over the side of a boat by fellow Masons for violating his oath for Master Mason. And that thing went to court and was tied up in the court for well over a year because the Masonic Lodge spent big time bucks trying to get the name of the Masonic Lodge out of the picture, which they never did do. So when they tell you it's just symbolic, they lie. The Masonic Lodge has certainly murdered men for violating the oath. John Quincy Adams, 16th President of the United States, I quote, "I am prepared to complete the demonstration before God and man that the Masonic oath, obligations, and penalties cannot by any possibility be reconciled to the laws of morality, of Christianity, or to the land." There's a president who wasn't a Mason and who thought the Masonic Lodge was the worst thing that could happen. Miscellaneous notes. Handbook of Freemasonry by Edmund Royan. I guess I'm pronouncing it right. Page 172. "Furthermore, that I will not have illicit carnal intercourse with a brother Master Mason's wife, his mother, sister, or daughter, I knowing them to be such." So, this guy, Mason, promises not to commit adultery or fornication with another Mason's wife or mother or daughter or sister. Now, the Bible said thou shalt not commit adultery. And he don't care who's mama or daughter or wife. Why in the world would you put a stipulation on who you won't commit adultery with? Isn't that amazing? Give you this last quote and I'll be through and we'll move on to another question. Well, okay, we will. We'll just get one question and I'm sorry. I want to get this off my chest. Oh, good. Well, let me give you a quote here by Albert Pike, 33rd degree Mason. Albert Pike was the Grand Pontiff of Universal Freemasonry, and on July the 14th, 1889, Albert Pike said to the 23 Supreme Councils of the world, that is, to every council in the Masonic Lodge worldwide, that which we must say to the crowd is, oh, you got one version for the crowd and another version for somebody else. Where have I seen that played before? That which we must say to the crowd is, we worship a God, but it is the God that one adores without superstition. To you, sovereign grand inspector generals, we say this, that you may repeat it to the brethren of the 32nd, 31st, and 30th degrees. The Masonic religion should be, by all of us initiates of a high degrees, maintained in the purity of the Luciferian doctrine. If Lucifer were not God, Jesus would not bother to spread false and harmful stories about him. Yes, Lucifer is God. Of course, they don't tell the first and second and third degree Masons that. Just the fellows who are 30, 31, 32, and the honorary 33rd. That is, they lie to the rest of them guys. When the truth is, the God that the Mason worship isn't the God of the Bible. According to Albert Pike, the Supreme Pontiff of Freemasonry, the God they worship is Lucifer. And then Christians join the lodge and don't see anything wrong with it. You know what I think about a fellow like that? I think he just can't see. I think he's just blind as a bat coming in backwards. You tell me how anybody with any sense or any moral reasoning power could read the quotes that I just gave you, know anything about that Bible, and conclude that Christianity and Masonic religion are compatible, and that you could be a member of both at the same time and maintain a clear conscience about it. I don't understand it. The Bound South, boy, all you gotta do is mention it, boy, and you're in hot water. Now, I gave you all that junk on the Masonic Lodge to show you by illustration in black and white that a Christian has no business in the lodges. Now, some of the lodges are not as bad as the Masonic Lodge on the religion and that kind of stuff, but they all have oaths that they take that they should not take. You are required to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, because all those other lodges have lots of fellows in them that aren't Christian and make no pretense of being a Christian. You should not be forsworn to destruction or to harm, because your body doesn't belong to you, and you have no business being among wine bibblers and writers of your flesh. Before you guys say, any of y'all ever been in a Masonic lodge, in a Moose Lodge or an Elk Lodge? American Legion, same thing. Oh, it's a big drunken orgy. They go down there on Friday and Saturday night to drink and gamble and dance and party. There's as much whoremongering and stuff goes on at the Moose Lodge and the Elk Lodge as any nightclub in town, because that's what it is. Now, if you ask one of them dear members, they're not going to tell you about their bar and the drinking and the gambling. You know what they're going to tell you about? They're going to tell you about the children they help, the charities they give to, the good works they do, how they collect for the poor. See? They use those humanitarian deeds and those good works as a cover for their wickedness. And if you're saved by God's grace and washed in the blood of the Lamb, you don't need to be a member of anything in this world but a Baptist church. Amen. Somebody asked Bob Gray one time down in Jacksonville, Florida. He said, Brother Gray said, if you weren't a Baptist, he said, what would you be? And Brother Gray said, without batting an eye, ashamed. All right, let's fire here. Brother Mark.